Well, there we are. It's June 6, 2009. It's sort of a cloudy day out here in the desert, but nice. And actually up here in the mountains overlooking the desert. Last night we had a lively conversation with the sidekick Steve Barish and Bella Bird. And hope we're enjoying everything. We're getting almost ready to get the new book out, The Inside Track. It's very close to completion. We start editing next week, which tells you that editing and rearranging is what we're going to do to get the, what I call the galleys out, or the collector versions out, like we did on the Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light, which was originally named The Secret Promise. So we've had a lot of different names for these books until a publisher makes it smaller, because it's going to be a pretty good-sized book. So today we're going to go flashing back into my National Health Federation days. We're queuing her up now, and this is a pretty interesting thing. This is back when my other book came out, Death of Ignorance, which was my first big book that sold quite a few copies. Still sells quite a bit. I thought we're going to reprint this pretty soon. So here's Dr. Fred Bell.
Fun to be back again at NHF. Now, before we get mental, I found it's very important to get physical, right? So why doesn't everybody just stand up for a second, right? Put your arms straight up like this. Okay. Turn to the right. Give everybody a little massage on the shoulders. Get the energy going here. Okay. That's called the NHF massage. And turn around, put your arms up, and go to the other side. Give everybody on the other side a massage. Okay, does that feel better? Look how the aura feel of the room has changed. All right. Now, this is an unusual experience for me, what I'm doing today. And being an author myself, my book is called Death of Ignorance. Betty Lee Morales wrote the foreword in it. I'm critiquing another author's book to a degree because the NHF has voiced a certain concern about the drugs that are being used today under the auspices of recreational drugs. So, the book is called Life Extension. Now, it's interesting that Dirk Pearson and Sandy Shaw are doing some research right now, and they're real enthusiastic about it. And it's also an interesting point that we were all born in 1943, so we're the same age. These kids came out of back east, some Ivy League colleges, and so did I, University of Michigan. And I've been through this. I've tried this stuff in here. As a matter of fact, I think I started before Dirk did. And I'm honestly able to say I'm off this stuff today. But I've been on it, so I'm not speaking from a theoretical standpoint. I'm speaking from a point of experience. Now, a couple of things that are interesting little philosophies, a couple little sayings that I found about life and wisdom is, I'll just run a few sayings by you real fast. The real secret of life extension is to give life to another. Okay? The way to get well is to help someone who is sick. If you are in pain, accept it as a lesson. For tomorrow, when it is gone, its absence will be of value. Values form a platform on which to build a foundation. The foundation is a cornerstone which can hold a home. A home is for the family where no one is alone. And heaven is a lonely place if you're the only one in it. Okay? Now, I think you can read between the lines on what those phrases mean. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bounce through the book, and I'm going to bounce out of the book, and I'm going to make some comments on it, because the book is hot and cold. There's some very good things in this book. There's some very good first aid instructions in here. There's a wealth of information in here on where to go and access for further information. I mean, a lot of people today, if they knew where to get information about themselves, what libraries, what journalisms and books to read, it's all in here. There's a tremendous section in here on safety. The book is very well put together. There's a tremendous section on pollution in here that's also quite good. Now, in chapter one, it starts off about the psychology of life extension, commentary on patience and immortality. It's interesting. Now, when you start talking about immortality, immortality is, first of all, it's a feeling. And you, I don't care what drug you take, you don't get going with the feeling of immortality until you feel it. Okay? Now, society has a tendency to program us into ignorance. People like to project their ignorance on others to feed paranoia, and paranoia is what governmental institutions are built upon. So our hierarchy has been built out of paranoia for centuries on this planet. But there is one particular being in the world that possesses the secret of immortality that is stepped on, misguided, and misused and abused in every way, shape, or form, typically somewhere in their life experience. Yet this being not only is a perfect judge of our characters without ever knowing us, but maybe one encounter, is still overlooked. Who am I talking about?
God in
us. Talking about a physical person. God is in all of us. Who am I talking about? Who has the feeling of immortality? Who should you consult to become immortalized? To teach your body good feelings, proper nutrition. Who do you see? Well, there's about four or five of these types of people in here today. They're small. We overlook them. The little mountain becomes a great mountain. The little pebble, children, exactly. The feeling is in the children, the very beginning. Chapter 3, it goes into your own lifespan. We are responsible for how we behave. We owe it to ourselves to look out for ourselves. Even when you're helping another, I've seen so many holistic physicians try to help other people and not take care of themselves first. They get trapped in other people's worries, other people's concerns, and then you're of no value to someone else, let alone yourself or your family. So begin inside, internally. Now, one of the things that goes into next is on page 24. It encourages high cholesterol foods. You don't have to stop eating lots of butter, whole milk, eggs, and meat. Just take vitamin E, C, and niacin, and a large amount of antioxidants. Well, there's a caution here. Antioxidants are great because a lot of these high-fat foods do produce free radicals. But you've got to be careful because our body is subject to an evolution. There's a point in the time of our bodies when we need the dairy product, the mother's milk of the cow, things like that. But we evolve beyond that. We go from a yang diet to a yin diet, and then we balance accordingly. And nutrition is very important to balance this because, for example, today, vitamin E. The same meal that we would have today has 50 times less the amount of vitamin E that it would have had 50 years ago because of food processing. Okay? Now, at this point, I want to make a comment on desire, because you have to overcome desire before you can reach the aspiration level in consciousness and evolve. How many of you are familiar with this report right here, the Global 2000 report? This was published by the federal government. It's a doomsday report. How many of you the other day saw on the front page of the Santa Ana Register a lady with a mask over her face like a handkerchief and having trouble breathing? Today, our environment is causing a degradation of everything that we do, say, hear. And we've got to become aware of the environmental causes and stresses on our body. Because people are trying to cover up the feelings of bad environmental poisons. There's 2 million chemicals that we're playing with today, over 2,000 in the air in any given city at any given point in time. And so everybody's going to drugs, recreational is the guise for the word drugs, to cover up the symptoms of what's really happening. Now, to exploit upon that, the federal government says that by the year 2050, there won't be too many of us around unless we start taking care of ourselves. By the year 2000, if we're going at the rate we are right now without making any changes, we will have extincted 2 million species of animals and plants and vegetation. The report further states that we have already extincted 500,000 species of plants and vegetables on this planet. There are 24 major species of vegetation that supports human life: barley, wheat, rye, oats. These are endangered because of the chemicals, the insecticides, the insecticides that have been put on the soils. What does that do for the bugs that eat these, threaten these crops? It makes them genetically mutate and become more powerful. The report further states that the natural predators are being destroyed by the herbicides and pesticides that would normally attack the bugs that are genetically mutating and becoming all-powerful and all-consuming. Okay? So maybe there is a story. How many saw the movie on TV, the spider? The spider's crawling around, you know? There is some madness in some of that science fiction. There's some truth in it. It's called the Global 2000 Report. You get it from the government printing office bookstore in downtown Los Angeles. Acid rain is in here. Well, yeah, I have acid fog, right? Acid rain, pH of 1.9 the other night in Newport Beach. You know what that does when you breathe? Try it sometime. Remember, your feelings are very important. What is better than a good feeling? And people overlook the first source of feelings, the air supply. Now, further on in page 40, it states that aging uses up brain neurochemicals. This can partially be restored by drugs and vitamins. This is true because, once again, it's societal stress. We do run out of neurochemicals in the brain. We do get sluggish. The book suggests choline, acetylcholine, inositol, B3, B1, and folic acid. Nutrient-wise, I would 100% endorse those nutrients. Because time and time again, insomnia is a general condition that results as a shortage of these. But it also talks about hydrogen. The book suggests hydrogen. Now, we're going to get into hydrogen because it's the number 5 most widely prescribed drug in the world outside the United States right now. But we'll get into that in a little bit. I would say, personally, from my experience, that we should check out, besides the vitamins, which these are not mentioned in the book, herbs like Don Quai, Fo Tai, Ginseng. Herbs are very important in our diets. A lot of drugs, medicinal drugs, come from herbs. Whole complete hormone structures, for example, are found in herbs. But when science goes in and takes the herb apart, it's no longer a natural food. It immediately begins to die. It's like if you cut your finger off and you put it up here on a platform, it may wiggle from a neurological standpoint for a few minutes or from a muscular standpoint, but then it stops. It's like some of this raw fish that you buy in the Japanese store. There's just a nervous reaction in there, but the life force is rapidly going back into the earth and the universe. People often overlook herbs. I personally love ginseng. Ginseng is a very natural, very powerful way to develop mental acuity. I've been using herbs, natural herbs, now for over 10 years, and I've had tremendous results with them. I know some of you have seen the pyramid that I wear occasionally. Well, I've been wearing that for 7 years. That's been tremendously helpful because of the way it works on the cilia in the lungs. Because when you breathe air, we're after a thing called a vitality globule, which is part of a negative ion charge, and we're rapidly depleting that today. Now, the next thing is a commentary on natural drugs versus synthetic drugs. I mean vitamins, rather. Synthetic vitamins versus natural vitamins. And the book takes a standpoint, and this is a lot of the establishment. This is more than the book talking. This is the establishment talking. And they're saying that, hey, you know, unnatural, artificial vitamins are just as good. It cites an instance of vitamin C. It says synthetic vitamin C is better for your body than a natural vitamin C because there are agents and enzymes in the C that were used in the plant to bind the cell collagen and enzymes together in the plant. These are toxic to the body. That's not true. A natural vitamin has in something called a vitality globule, which I'm going to get into further. It's a natural life force. This is immediately lost in a synthetic. How many of you are aware of the fact, for example, that between the hours of 2 o'clock in the morning and 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, we have a higher natural death rate? You familiar with that? This is because of the vitality globule, an energy that comes from the sunlight, is in its absence, is its ebb, it's ebbing away from us. The same thing is that what causes the catalyst of ATP and AMP inside of a plant, which your body metabolizes. If you study a laser, for example, a laser takes energy, photons of white light, converts them into green energy, and pumps out red photons, a uniformal energy. Sunlight does the same thing. It goes into a plant like a leaf, fortifies the plant, the natural sugars in the plant, green, chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is just like hemoglobin, except it has a magnesium ion rather than an iron atom in its nucleus. The chlorophyll then transforms this life-giving force into our bodies, into the cells, the nucleus of our cells, and our bodies then utilize this energy on and on and on and on and on. But man lives in total violation with nature. And man wants to cheat. He's so hung up in form that he wants to synthesize himself, his cells. And that's where the fun begins. A few years ago, the FDA, in the FDA register on 14th December 1972, said that vitamin D causes hypervitaminosis in children. This was based on a UK study in England. And the kids were coming down with rickets. And they called it infantile hypercalcemia. But what the FDA didn't realize is that vitamin D was a synthetic that they were giving these kids, and they were putting it in foods over there. As soon as they took out the vitamin D2, which was a synthetic vitamin D, and put a natural form of vitamin D in, the rickets disappeared. Vitamin D is a good example, and it's one they're going to play with. The establishment likes to play with things. Vitamin D is so important because we don't get enough of it from the sunlight today. We're supposed to be able to process on 1 square inch of skin 18 international units of vitamin D. If we don't have vitamin D, we can't absorb calcium. The first thing that happens when we start losing our calcium is the heart is affected. Why? Because it has to steal the calcium from the bones, and the entire body is then affected. So vitamin D, even though people don't talk about it like E and A and lecithin, is a very important one. And you can't synthesize vitamin D2 and stick it in your body because it's a drug and it doesn't work, and there's already statistics to prove that it doesn't work. Dr. Isabel Jennings of the University of Cambridge in England has written a book called Vitamins and Endocrine Metabolism, Springfield, Illinois. She reports in many cases synthetic vitamins are now available, which may be identical with natural occurring substances or only closely related. The close relations, although useful in many ways, pose some problems, in which they have only a fraction, whether a large or small, of the biological activity of the natural product. They may substitute for several, but not all, of the functions of their natural counterparts. So it is essential to use extreme care in their use. Okay? Any more need be said on that? It's like Betty Lee always says, well, here's the test tube with the synthetic in it. Let's see the blade of grass. Make one of those. We haven't come close. Now then, chapter 12 goes into regeneration, born-again limbs, and it's going into some DNA and genetic research that's taking place now in life extension. It is possible to understand and regenerate limbs. Matter of fact, sometimes small children will lose part of a finger and it will grow back. We have other bodies of energy that we've got to address and understand. For example, when you chop a lizard's tail off, and you take a picture of it with a Carillion photography camera, what happens is you can see this phantom tail effect or phantom leaf effect if you destroy a leaf. The lizard hasn't been programmed by society, the mental body of energy, not to be able to grow this limb and organ back. So as a result, grows back a tail. Okay? When we in science, on the orthodoxical level, the front runners in science already know about the etheric body. The etheric body is what holds a glass together. The etheric body is what leaves a glass when someone sings a musical note, making that glass disappear and go away into the ozone. Okay? So when we get into higher body and energy fields, we're going to know about this. Now, the next thing it talks about is cross-linking. Cross-linking is when sulfur-hydrogen bonds, the sulfhydro group, in proteins are oxidized. They can react with another sulfhydro group in the same of another protein molecule to form a disulfide. Now, what that means is like you can take a raw, natural, pliable form of rubber and heat it up, and it becomes vulcanized, hard. This is what happens when our bodies are subjected to internal chemicals, junk foods, and then catalyzed by what we call toxic sunlight. Okay? Now, one of the things that Dirk suggests is to deal with the skin problem is to take food FDA dye number two, red dye number two. Okay, now that's what he takes. And what happens is it gives you, if you take too much, the book cautions, if you take too much, you're going to have orange skin. And if you want it by prescription, it's called Orthobronze, and you get it up in Canada. So now, the desire of the body, the form, is to now encapsulate itself in a pretty skin. So we shoot ourselves up with FDA dye number two. Now you got to realize we're talking about the number two bestseller in the United States right now. And a lot of folks are going to be doing this. So we're going to have the plastic group and the living group here. Society is starting to take a division. Now the book talks about para-ammonic benzoic acid, PABA. That's good. That's a very good, that's a V vitamin within a B vitamin. So there's a good and a bad. He's like black and white. I like the book because it's stimulating. It makes you think. You make the wrong move, you're going to be frozen. Now, chapter 7 talks about free radicals. Free radicals, the main cause of them, or the attention of those, was brought to us back during the nuclear reaction days. I used to work at the University of Michigan on nuclear experiments. I know what free radicals are all about. It says that vitamin C and E are good antioxidants. Free radicals can cause blood clots by blocking prostacyclin, cross-linking, pigment accumulation, causes breakdowns in plastics, rubber, petroleum, food, and living tissues. It says take vitamin A, C, E, B1, B5, B6, cysteine, and tyrosine. This is okay. But once again, now be careful when you start taking amino acids en masse. Because the body needs all eight essential amino acids to digest the one, like if you're taking a blast of phenylalanine, it's going to rob the body, other functions in the body, to make one thing happen. So you got to be careful. It's a short-term effect. But there's a thing, when you go up on drugs, and I've never seen an exception to this, you go down afterwards. It's like skiing, you know. You can ski moderately along and go up and down, take the hills and the knolls, and keep a moderate pace. Or you can go straight up the side of Mount Everest and straight down the other side. It depends on what your personal path or evolution is all about. Now, the next thing I find extremely fascinating, because what Dirk is doing now is he's taking large amounts of BHT and BHA. And what they do is they take a teaspoon of it, they mix it with aerosol-type cooking oils, a whole teaspoon, that's 100 times over what the FDA says is the maximal allowable dosage, and they dump that in their eggs, they dump that in their meat, and they cook it with this, with the BHT. And what happens is it lowers the free radicals, keeps the cholesterol levels down. Okay, now here's what I like to do. Those of you that are not very science or biochemically oriented, let's take BHT and break it down and see what it is, okay? BHT stands for butylated hydroxyl toluene, okay? Now, what this does is, first of all, let's take the word apart and understand it. Butyl means any four univalent radicals. That means that butyl is a source of a chemical that has free electrons that will bond up with peroxides, free radicals, and cause another element to happen, supposedly doing something good for you. Okay? Now let's take butylate. Butylate is to introduce the butyl group into a compound. Okay? Now, hydroxyl, the middle part of the word. Hydroxyl is a univalent group of radical consisting of hydroxides, oxygen, and alcohols, glycols, and phenols, mostly petroleum byproducts. Now, toluene is the last part of BHT. Toluene is a liquid aromatic hydrocarbon, C7H8, which resembles benzene but is less volatile, flammable and toxic. It is produced commercially from light oils from coke oven gas and coal tar and from petroleum. It is used as a solvent in organic synthesis and as an anti-knock agent for gasoline. Piece of rubber, piece of plastic, because it's great to hold things. And so if you want to become plasticized, and definitely it will freeze for a while, the body. But there's something else going on in the body besides this rigidity, this urge and this desire to maintain our looks and our physical beauty. will not be surpassed or conquered by plasticizing yourself. The Egyptians, for example, were heavy into this, but they did it after the person was deceased. They used large amounts of tannic acid, put that in the body, put them inside the pyramid because the pyramid removes all the viruses from the body, and let them sit for a long time. This preserved the body for 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 years. They figured in the second coming around they could use these bodies over again. Now, I want to say one thing about pyramids at this point, because if you wear one, it doesn't mummify you. All it does is it allows, for example, a piece of fruit to dry out without the interference of bacteria. Now, chapter 9 goes into the decline of the brain's chemical messengers. It suggests phenylalanine or tyrosine in large quantities, diapid, vasopressin. Now, let's look at vasopressin, which is called diapid. It's by Sandoz. I've tried it. It doesn't do that much for me. It might do something for someone. But why not look at what a protein is and a neurohormone is first and understand what's going on? First of all, let me look over here so they can get this on tape. No, this is mine. This is out of my book, Death of Ignorance. Now, I have to, you know, refer to my own book at this point. We are minerals. 5% of our body is minerals, controls 95% of our metabolism. We're suffering right now because, as the Global 2000 report says, our soil has been stripped of minerals. Minerals contain intelligence. All atoms in the body have intelligence. This body is walking a path. It will go back into the soil. The minerals in the soil will learn from the experience of this body. The next time a body comes again, and on and on and on, we evolve. Why do you think consciousness is evolving? That's why the textbooks are no good in schools today. Minerals contain intelligence. And when they're inside the body, that's where the intelligence begins to come from. They're divided into three sets of vibrations: the low frequency, the middle frequency, and the high frequency. The low frequency is iron, copper, responsibility, metabolic functions. Middle frequency are reflective metals, silver, chromium, causes you to reflect, gives you feelings in the parasympathetic, so you can feel yourself. And finally, the highest set of minerals is gold, vanadium, titanium, gives you the spiritual thought. Take those away, and immediately the body, the neurotransmitters are going to decline. And you're going to have to look for drugs, because spiritually, when there's something is gone, it's a lonely, lonely feeling. Minerals go with enzymes. Okay? Enzymes. Enzymes are pH factors in our body. We're doing everything utterly possible on this planet today to destroy our enzymes. Processing food. Enzymes like to see 90 degrees to 120 degrees. They don't like to see frozen food. They don't like to see boiled food. They don't like to see cooked food. Raw, natural food is very important for enzymes. We're doing everything we can to destroy our soil. Our pH level, our soils, is shot. The rain that comes down is well in the acidic range most of the time. So where do we get enzymes from? Vitamins are important. Vitamins are combinations of enzymes and other forms of nutrients. These, in turn, form proteins. Proteins arrange themselves in polypeptides, which then form hormones and neurohormones. So, the drug companies are down here synthesizing these hormones with chemicals. For example, vasopressin. Vasopressin is lysine and arginine. You're better off taking the natural aminos and letting your body build its own hormones than taking external hormones. Why? Because when you take external hormones, you're a drug addict. Why? Because the manufacturing process in the body is now bypassed. And when you bypass something, we are here to work. Our bodies are here to work. And if you stop working, you get lazy. Your body is the same way. So if you start taking the drugs, you're going to require the drugs. And when the drug companies get hold of you, then you've sold your soul at that point. Okay? It's the beginning. Now, it also suggests Diener and Parlodel. These are two other drugs. As a matter of fact, Hydrogen, Diener, and Parlodel are all catecholamine nerve transmitters. All of these. Okay, now let's talk about some of these drugs. We're getting into the ergot family. Okay, now in the very beginning, the dedication, part of the dedication is to Dr. Albert Hofmann, a visionary pharmaceutical chemist who invented hydrogen and a host of other modern wonder drugs. Okay, we're talking about primarily in this book here, the ergot family. How many of you know what ergots are? What are they? Fungus, exactly. Now, what is Dr. Alfred Hoffman world famous for? Exactly, LSD. So, we're talking about smooth muscle stimulants. History of ergot alkaloids. Epidemics of ergotism in the Middle Ages from eating bread made from contaminated flour as back as 994 and 1129 in France exhibited two clinical pictures. Gangrenous ergotism, holy fire, St. Anthony's fire, characterized by hot extremities becoming numb. Then, vesculation and black coloration. Finally, mummification and loss of extremities at joints without bleeding. And the key word right here is mummification, right? Because of that butylated effect that we were talking about early, when you take hydrogen in minute quantities, what you're doing is you're mummifying the cells in your body, you're plastifying, you're tightening up the orbital electron around the nucleus, and you're modifying the behavior pattern. And this will have long-term deleterious effects on the overall system. There are three groups of alkaloids that have been separated. The ergotamine group, the ergotoxin group, and the ergovine group. The ergotoxin group is where hydrogen comes in. Used to hydrogen, NASA, we had a fuel called hydrazine. I've got some tongue twisters here. Now, it also talks about kids, like putting kids on Diener and Ritalin. Believe it or not, these fall in that same category, very subtly. And I'll talk about what happens over a period of time when you put, you know what the side effects of some of these drugs are? Death, exactly. Insomnia is another one, a very strong one. In the NHF Register, I read about a month ago, a real interesting article that Maureen wrote, and she found it in some research, which is true. Anytime you take more than three drugs simultaneously, you're going to experience all of the negative side effects of one of them. That's most people, okay? Most people. So that's something to think about. Now, the next thing they go into is the aging process, talking about Parlandol. Yeah. D-E-A-N-E-R. Diener.
Yeah. Does that plasticize the body also?
Well, to a degree. It works psychically first. All of these drugs will freeze you eventually, but they have different levels of motion at the atomic level. Okay?
Is there any reversal in that?
I don't know. I haven't taken any of that stuff yet. You know, I haven't tried that one yet, and I don't plan on it. I've had enough of these psychedelics in the 70s to keep me going for a long time. I took LSD in 1973. Okay, before 1973, I used to win spelling bees in school. I was a super pronunciator of words. I was a super speller. I always won spelling bees. After a year of taking LSD, I lost a good half of my vocabulary, especially my deep scientific vocabulary, and a tremendous amount of my spelling knowledge. So I had to go back and teach part of my brain, which I had burned up, how to work again, how to function again. And even now, I still remember the theories and philosophies of biochemistry, but I had to re-educate a part of my body. Now, I gained a lot of knowledge on the high effects of the drugs, but asked to do it over again, I would probably do it by fasting and natural foods, because you can get a lot higher on a fast and you're a whole hell of a lot clearer. Okay? But I made a few mistakes, and that's why I'm here now. I'm going to share those with you. You go out and do what you want. Now, they talk about Parlandol as reinstating menstrual cycling in most older female rodents and some human females by stimulation of dopaminergic nervous system, which in turn stimulates pituitary hormone, releasing factors for sexual reproduction. Food manipulation caused insects to live 2 years of age, which only live normally 8 weeks. But there was extensive genetic damage as they did not have repair and protective enzymes for a species 2 years old. Now, what they're talking about here is going back into sexual vital energies and sexual. Sexual energies need to be transmuted for immortality. Okay? There are many masters running around today on this planet that are inhabiting old bodies that look very young. If you study some of the theosophical teachings of some of the different spiritual movements going on today, you'll hear about masters like Count Saint Germain, Sri Babaji, Paramahansa Yogananda, people that really got into this stuff and left a track record, and some of these masters are alive today. For example, in Madame Dalimar's diaries, which is during Marie Antoinette's time, her diaries, which are today in one of the big famous London museums, clearly state that a man by the name of Count Rogalski lived over 200 years and kept himself very active in royal circles. So we can look back. It also talks about what the man ate. He ate a diet consisting of several light meals a day, mostly raw food and vegetables, and occasionally a small amount of cooked white meat of chicken. This is all in the archives over in London. So they're not getting into something that we haven't been able to do already. It's already been done. Now, the body has to transmute and move up in consciousness. Okay, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to lead right into that now. Some of the other things that the book goes into are covering up the effects of alcohol with drugs. Primarily, once again, hydrogene to eliminate hangover. When you start coming down from an alcoholic binge, you start producing acetaldehyde. Acetaldehydes in the body are poisons. Vitamin C is a way to break that because it will break it down into lactic acid. Don't use a lot of drugs to cover up the pain. The pain is, once again, a lesson not to do it again. The other thing is it talks a little bit about are opiates. Opiates cover up, they act like endorphins in the body, and these are pain-numbing agents. Okay? Now, the way the body should work, and the way it normally works, is we have seven reservoirs in our body which should have natural hormones in them. Sexual hormones, adrenal hormones, heart, thymus, pituitary. These hormones are seated inside of these organs and are released into the bloodstream by capillary action, naturally by relaxation, not by stimulation of a drug source. If we are in tune with ourselves, we are in tune with our environment and our universe, our body will automatically take over and bring us this immortality feeling that we're looking for. Colors, sounds, lights, all at certain vibrations fall into what we call octaves. There are seven major octaves in the musical scale. There are seven colors in the rainbow. Seven is a number of form. When the sevens are kept in harmony, the hormone structure of the body is said to orchestrate. Okay? Now, you cannot interrupt a conductor conducting a symphony. And that's exactly what we do when we start putting these drugs in our body. Then what happens is the hormones in proper formation arrive at the brain. The brain is a doorway or a switch. And the brain switches knowledge, a school of knowledge and thought called seven levels of consciousness, on one side of the door, down to the physical body, the physical universe, and each other as we know it today. Each individual in here has his own life experience that's immortalized. It's been going on forever. And the secret to gain that immortalization and bring it to this plane is to become in balance, to become in harmony. Now, one of the worst things that we're getting into now with the ergot family of drugs, the cocaine family of drugs, procaine family of drugs, and strangely enough, some of these things are found in GH3 and KH3. When you start playing around with cocaine, procaine, novocaine, all right, you're starting to play around with MOA inhibitors, monoamino oxidase inhibitors. And that's dangerous, okay? Now, these types of chemicals stop or inhibit the uptake of norepinephrine. As a result, you get a free flow of vasopressin until you run out, and you get an euphoric rush, a physical feeling of goodness in your body. Then what happens is you run out of lysine, arginine, and tryptophan, and the serotonin levels begin to run rampant in the body. Now, what is serotonin? Serotonin is a neurohormone that is stimulated by positive ion or air pollution poisoning. And when it is stimulated to the maximum, death results in 30 hours, laboratory testing. So as a result, now what we're doing is we're introducing air cleaners, ion generators into the world to help deal with the positive ion pollution. Other people that are not using natural air cleaners, electrostatic precipitation is a societal accepted way of producing clean air. Ionization is an acceptable. There's been nobody's ever been killed from negative ions. Remember, a negative ion is nothing more than a free electron that is necessary to reproduce a cell, and we're supposed to reproduce cells at the rate of 50 million per second. Hemoglobin alone reproduces cells at the rate of 3 million per second. But we're putting positive and negative ion poisoning out now. Positive ions. For example, in England in 1952, 14,000 people died of poison air. In 1966 in Japan it happens. That's why they have oxygen masks on the street corners, because of that very thing. Now, another thing that we have to talk about, as it talks about in here, is the genetic aging clock. In Dirk's book, it talks about genetic aging clocks. The genetic aging clock deals with the pineal gland. And what it does is, over a period of time, it changes the tempo of this orchestrated body, producing what we call elevated behavioral patterns. Now, what does that mean? Okay, it means science fiction becomes science fact. When we produced elevated behavioral patterns a few years ago, in the 60s, we put man on the moon because we came out with a superconscious state of being, right? I used to watch television, and when I watched television, I would see man going to the moon in the 40s. I had an old Crosley, a 1947 Crosley television set. And the big thing was, I want to be part of the moon project. So I went out in the 1960s. I was part of the moon project. It was great. I was a kid in a candy store, you know. Now what do we see on television? Bionic Man, Wonder Woman, Superman, right? We're going to have super physical consciousness. When you evolve yourself properly, like going into breatharianism, for example, the body eventually knows how to take nitrogen out of the air and produce protein. I wouldn't recommend that you try that until you understand it, but it's possible and people are doing it. They're called saints. So it can be done. Superphysical consciousness, right? Our children are going to be born with it. What happens when a woman is out by her son in a Volkswagen falls off the jack? She walks over and picks it up, right? What happens when Uri Geller puts 40 kids up on the stage and he puts a little spoon in all their hands? He says, okay, kids, tell it to bend. And they all say bend, and the spoon bends, right? What happens when Omar, Vernon Craig in Ohio, walks on hot coals and doesn't burn his feet? These are all superphysical states of consciousness. We can do that naturally. But we have to, number one, get about the business of letting our bodies teach us how to do it. We don't have to do it in a laboratory. We can do it by living like human beings, by not causing wars with each other, by learning to forgive and forget our mistakes. And learn that as our own lesson. And that's what makes harmony. That's what makes union. And that makes vitamins work as vitamins. Minerals work as minerals. Otherwise, vitamins will turn into poison in your body. You put out poison thoughts and poison actions, you have a poison body. Now, drugs are great for covering up poison. They're great for that. You know? Or operation. When in doubt, cut it out. You know? All of these things. The last thing I want to cover real briefly, because we're going to run out of time, we can talk after this, is DNA. I've been a student of DNA. Now, DNA is something that tells all of our cells how many instructions to reproduce. And when DNA starts not behaving properly, then we start to appear older in physical. And everybody likes to look in the mirror and be proud of themselves. There's a guy over in, he was run out of this country, he's from a royal family in Italy. His name is Gianni Dotto. He did a monumental work in DNA a few years ago. And one of the things that he showed, and I'll read it from one of the articles that I wrote, is when a baby is born, the slowing process of reproduction increases. At the age of 2, the DNA winds again to 22 base pairs per turn. At the age of 14 and 21, 10 base pairs. At 35 to 55, 10 base pairs. And then beyond that, it's down to 6. Now, DNA is normally 1 meter long, 39 inches, okay? Human consciousness has a tendency, and especially the science community, to build or express itself in physical means based on the body as a perfect structure of the universe. This is what Leonardo da Vinci was in. And when we begin to understand our own genetic engineering, especially DNA, because DNA is light sensitivity and it's vibration. For example, the term laetrile came from lava rotary and nitrile. Okay? We have dextro rotary and lava rotary. Left spin, right spin. And this is the way a scientist will take a chemical and he'll see how it polarizes light. If it goes to the right, it becomes poisonous, like arsenic. A lot of these chemicals have right spin. If it goes to the left, it's harmonious for the body. And when you start understanding the light, the way the body behaves in frequencies of light, because that's what this was all about, then we start putting light-emitting nutritional products and foods in our body will automatically begin to build up more base pairs per turn and begin to behave properly. It's all in vibration. Energy cannot be created. Energy cannot be destroyed. People say, well, what do you talk about energy, you know? Well, energy is important. You go right down to the atom, the proton and the electron, right? Inside the atom is the proton. In there is a quark, a lepton, and a hadron. Doesn't mean a whole lot, but the atom immediately forms a molecule. Bam, in 2 milliseconds, 50 million of them are formed. The molecule then forms a cell. The cell then forms an organ. The organ then forms an organism. The body can reproduce itself in 7 years. The liver can reproduce itself in a few months if we're healthy. So even if you're discouraged with yourselves now, let this principle go to work for you, and in 7 years, you're going to notice a tremendous change just by understanding how change is and not trying to interfere with it. You know, I'm a triple Leo. You don't think I don't have to deal with change? Because I have my ideas. I have them, and they're always wrong. Always wrong. Every scientific discovery I've ever made, and I've produced a lot of products that people are happy with today, done a lot of formulations, things. I've done many things, but everything I did was by accident that ever worked. And then accepting the accident, acceptance of our accidents and our misdeeds and misfortunes is the beginning of truth. Truth is the middle, truth is the beginning, and truth is the end. Okay? Are there any questions? Yes. Right. Starting with disharmony, discord. You know, without discord, there cannot be harmony. And remember, man is a combination of both. So don't get down, don't be disenchanted because there's so much discord. Realize that there's a lesson there. Realize that someone over here that has no discord or no harmony is just a vegetable. Vegetables are what we eat to live, right? Yeah. How can you get off? Lots of vitamin C. The question was, how can you get off of 4 milligrams of lithium? Lots of vitamin C, and I would get on some amino acids. Yeah, get on lots of amino acids. Yeah. With vitamin C, take a little cysteine, a little B1, and some B3. Cysteine, it's an amino acid. Just get a high-content cysteine amino acid group, like a protein powder. It's very important. I used to help people with freebase. Freebase is a very powerful way of ingesting cocaine. And it's a similar problem as lithium or valium being strung out on those drugs. Amino acids will do tremendous things because you may gain a little weight coming off of it, but that's okay. Once you're off the drug, then what happens is the weight will go back to where it's supposed to be. Okay, oftentimes in drug withdrawal, you're going to get weight gaining. Maybe as much as 10%, because your body is going into balance, but you'll feel so good. Well, are you under a doctor's care? I would consult the doctor first. We're not here to prescribe. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Besides the okay. Anecdotal stories about these people that can exist on nitrogen for what scientific or laboratory proof
is there that person? I believe Oxford has done tests on that. There's a lot of centers now that are testing. In Dirk's books, it goes into some of these testing centers. and a lot of that information that you're asking for can be sought out.
And Dirk, there's a book?
Yeah, I think there's some of these testing centers. It comes under the clinical testing part.
On breatharians?
Yeah, he doesn't go into breatharians. There's no spiritual knowledge in here. But some of the testing center information, ask them.
Well, I didn't think the tape would end that quick, but seems to have done that. Let me stop here for a second and see where we're at. Oh, yeah, we're at 51 minutes. My goodness, that was a quickie. So we'll have more for you next week. And I hope everybody enjoyed that little blast through the past. Yeah, 52 minutes. We're right on key here. So that was what that one was. And I might have some more of this same thing. Let me see. Life extension, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, I think that we'll have some more next week of the same thing. So until then, everybody have a great rest of the weekend, and we'll catch you on Friday night live.